Good morning, everyone. Very big welcome. First Sunday of the year. I'm not sure when it's too late to wish everyone a Happy New Year, but here goes. I can efficiently say Happy New Year to you all. But more than that, we want the joy of the Lord to be our strength, don't we? Because our happiness fluctuates depending on our happenings. But the joy of the Lord keeps us going through everything we face this coming year. So may God bless you. And if you're joining with us online too, big welcome. It's good to have you all here. We have a service this evening at 6:30 and also our communion service at 3 o'clock. So a good number of opportunities to use the day well, to worship God, to bless each other with our company and encourage one another as we hear from God's word. So do make the most of those opportunities. Well, we are going to sing our first song, and it's this song, Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided. It's a thankfulness as we think about God's faithfulness, how he's provided for the past, and praying as we go into a new year. Let's stand and sing this song. Together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We're greatly privileged because you have given us a new day to live. And as we look back over the past year, We can say that your faithfulness is great. You are kind to us. We thank you for the way that you've provided for us, our daily needs. We thank you for specific prayers that you've answered. We thank you for your wonderful grace towards us through Jesus Christ, that when we have fallen, your grace has restored us. You've provided all that we needed to live a godly life. And whilst we may have fallen many times, your amazing grace restores us, forgives us. Lord, we are thankful that you do not treat us how we deserve, but we are treated by your tender mercy, which we so much need every day. And as we look back over the past year, it gives us confidence to face a new year, however challenging that may be. Each day is uncertain for us in this coming year. But one thing we can be certain of is that your character and your faithfulness and your steadfast love and your reliability, your truth, your love for us, your welcoming arms, your grace, your mercy, your provision will all remain the same. That's a great comfort to us, because we can say with confidence, if we are people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that my times are in your hand. Your grace will be sufficient for all that I face. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So Lord, encourage us, because some of the things in our lives that we face are daunting and are difficult. And we pray that we'll be encouraged by that fact that you never change, that you are the promise keeper. And your love toward us is not based on our love for you. We're thankful for that. But Lord, help us as we receive your love and kindness this year. Help us to be fully devoted to you. In living power, remake us. Oh Lord, we need that. We need you to be at work in our hearts day by day, conforming us more to the image of this world, loosening our grip on this passing world. Oh Lord, we pray you'd help us to live for you. Lord, we commit each other to you in this coming week, in this coming year. We pray for those who work in our schools, those who work in healthcare, some going back tomorrow. We ask that you'd bless them and strengthen them. Pray for those who work with children. You'd protect them from all the bugs and the illnesses that go around at this time of year, and that you'd help them and give them strength. Help those in healthcare to show love and compassion and patience in doing that. And Lord, in whatever path you have given us, in employment or in retirement or in working in college, university, Lord, help us where you've placed us to live faithful Christian lives that show to others what it is to follow Jesus, to show to others what a life of light and purpose looks like in a world of darkness. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. We ask that we'll know your strength in our weakness. We ask that we'll know your wisdom in our foolishness. We pray for your help. Lord, we commit to you this morning, Charlie and Becca, and we pray that over the next couple of weeks, as a new one is born into their family, we pray that you'll bless them. We pray you'll deliver Becky safely through that time, and that you'll greatly bless them with joy and happiness in new life. We thank you for our families. We ask your blessing on them. We thank you for our marriages. We pray for your strengthening and your blessing on them through this coming year. Lord, we ask that you would be with the teams who run the First Steps and the First Tuesday groups. Help them as they start up again this week. And all the other different activities that are starting up. We've had a busy Christmas, and it feels like we've hardly had a break. So we pray for energy and strength to start those things. We ask for your help. We pray for opportunities for others to hear the gospel. And we pray that your Spirit will be at work, as in different ways we call people to faith and repentance. we know that without your Holy Spirit at work, those words fall on deaf ears. So we are reliant on you for these things. Lord God, we pray further afield, and we think of our friends in Cyprus, in Catalonia, in the Philippines, in Papua New Guinea, and so many others who have left home to do gospel work in other parts of the world. We pray you'd strengthen them. We pray that you'd encourage them to keep going when the going's tough. And Lord, in the difficulties that we face, in the things that make us anxious, help us to remember that that is such a small thing compared to those who live under persecution for their faith. And we pray for them this morning. We ask that you'll give them great endurance in suffering, that you'll give them great comfort in the loss of those who they love, who've been murdered. For those who are in solitary confinement for years on end, we pray that you will be their companion, their friend, their strength. We thank you for the beauty of a life given up because of love for Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless those people. Help us to remember them. Help us to pray for them. Lord, as we now hear from your word today, Lord, we pray it'll be a great encouragement for us, to strengthen us. Help us to make every opportunity to hear your word. Help us this coming year to recommit to the regular meeting together of your people, at our prayer meetings, at our services here. Not just because we want a big crowd of people to meet, though that's great and encouraging, but because we're like a coal in the fire, and when it's taken out of the fire, we grow cold. And when we neglect the opportunities that we have to meet together, we do the same. We need the encouragement of your word, the encouragement of other believers as we live the Christian life. So Lord, help us this year to commit to that. Help us to commit to daily, regularly reading your word, to pray without ceasing as we live our lives. Help us to commit to putting on the armor of God that will make us strong, that will help us stand in the times of testing and temptation. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. Without you, we fail, we can do nothing. But with your strength, all things are possible. We ask that our lives will bring glory and honor to you. Amen. Well, our first Bible reading is in Matthew chapter 6. And we're reading verse 19 to 34. And on the Church Bible, that's page 811. This is part of the great sermon that Jesus preached while he was here on earth. Matthew 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, John will be preaching from that passage a bit later on. We're going to sing two songs now, and then afterwards, Martin will do the children's talk. Our first one we will know really well, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, and we're going to split into two groups. So what we'll do, we'll all sing the first verse together, and then this side, you're going to go straight into verse 2, and you're going to sing the chorus, okay? And at the end, we should all sing the chorus together, okay? So first verse, everyone, you straight into verse 2. And then our second song is Psalm 121, I Lift My Eyes and See.
Excellent. Yeah, if you want to come up to the front. Brilliant. Well, it's good to see you. I wonder when you look on the wall and you see a question mark, I wonder, what are you thinking? Harvey, it's behind me. Oh, sorry, the screens. It's not the wall, isn't it? Well done. The screens, a question mark. I wonder, what are you thinking? Oh, this is going to be really boring. I hope he's really quick. Go and sit back down. Carry on with my puzzle. I wonder what he's got in his bag. I wonder how interesting it is what he's got in his bag. Let's have a look. Perhaps you're thinking there's a bit of a funny bag for Martin to have, but it's full of cake, so I don't mind. Right, what have we got in our bag? I wonder what you think when I bring out some wool. Oh, that's boring. Now, there's some ladies in this church who go, oh, that's interesting. So we'll all be thinking different things, but I reckon you'll think that's boring. What else have we got? Oh, what about an orange? I think, oh, I like oranges. Bit healthy. Perhaps there's something nicer in the bag. Shall we have a look? What have we got? Oh, fruit pastels. Is that better than an orange, Harvey? Or do you prefer an orange? You prefer an orange, do you? Oh, I'm a bit naughty. Fruit pastels, what do you think? Would you prefer a fruit pastel or an orange? Yeah, fruit pastel, yeah. Yeah, I like a fruit pastel. Perhaps there's something better in the bag. How about one of these? Which one would you prefer if I was to offer you one of these, a fruit pastel or an orange? What do you reckon? What would you like? You'll go for a fruit pastel? What would you like, River? A fruit pastel? Excellent. I'm going to keep all these to myself. This is lovely. Amelie, what would you like? Yes, lady after my own heart. One of these. Do you still want an orange? Yeah? You are very good, aren't you? You are very good. Well, I want to get you thinking because in the Bible, it talks about thinking and about thoughts. And some of the adults might be thinking of different verses that it talks about thoughts. But in Psalm 1, we have the start of it. It says, happy is the man. And that could be happy is the lady or the boy or the girl. And there's a whole list of things that would make someone happy. And the one I want you to think about is this one. Happy is the person who loves the Lord's teachings and he thinks about those teachings day and night. Now, where do we come across God's teaching, the Lord's teachings? Where might we be to have the Lord's teachings? Any idea, Elle?
In a prayer.
In a prayer, yes. We can be taught in a prayer. When John was praying earlier, there were some things he was thinking. I was thinking, yeah, he's teaching me some things there. Absolutely. Where else can we have God teaching us? What about when we go to Thrive? When we go to Thrive, the teachers, they're using God's word to teach us. When you read your Bibles at home, with your parents or by yourself, God's teaching us. Yeah, so God's teaching us all the time. And perhaps you want to listen a little bit later when John's teaching us from God's word. There might be something that you can take away with you. So don't think, oh, it's just such a big book. You can take a little bit of God's word and think about it. And here's a little bit in verse 1, what this Bible says, what Psalm 1 says. Happy is the man, the person, he doesn't do what bad people do. What might bad people do?
Bully.
Bully, yes. So you don't want to do what bad people do. What else might bad people do? That's a good one.
Steal.
steal. We don't want to steal. Even if it's from our mum or dad or our brothers or sisters, that sweet that we've been told we mustn't have. What else do bad people do? You're doing really well. Lie, tell lies. Yes, so telling lies, yes, is a bad thing. Anything else? Break promises. What a good one. Yeah, you're coming up with some really good suggestions. Break promises. Go on then, Harvey. Pardon? Beat us up. Bad people don't beat us up. We don't want to do any of those things, do we? We don't want to bully. We don't want to fight. We don't want to tell lies. We don't want to steal. Okay, we don't want to be unkind. We don't want to be selfish. And we read about this in God's word. And we will be happy if we're following what God wants us to do. Now, I have a little bit of a challenge for you. Yeah? I have a little bit of a challenge. You've got to go to your mums or your dads. And you want to ask them for one verse a week that you can think about during the week. And it only has to be a little one. That was only a little bit we looked at, wasn't it, in our previous slide? He doesn't do what bad people do. That's just part of a verse. So you only need a little thing just to think about, and God will teach us as we just think about that little bit. And for us adults, we tend to read a lot more, but just one verse a day, just to think about. Some people write it on post-it notes so they can read it. Just think about what God's word is telling us. Because God will teach us as we are thinking. Because if I was to get this out, what would you be thinking now? Hey? You're not meant to smile, Harvey. All right? You know, you're thinking, Mum and Dad wouldn't let me touch one of these, would they? That looks dangerous. Yeah? So actually, God's word warns us about bad things. And it teaches us about good things. So, I'm going to finish with a little prayer, okay? And then we go back to our seats. Father God, we ask that you would help us to think about what we learn from your word. However small that verse is that we think about, we pray that you would teach us and help us to love your word and help us to love you and keep us safe from bad things. Amen. Go back to your seats.
Thank you, Martin. We've got one more reading, Bible reading, and we are in Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church, chapter 4 and verse 4 to 9, page 982 in the church Bible. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, we're going to sing again before John comes to preach for us. And this is a great song, well-known song, but it's quite challenging, isn't it? Is this our prayer? Lord, be my vision, supreme in my heart. Bid every rival give way and depart. You, my best thought, in the day or the night, waking or sleeping, your presence, my light. Great prayer to pray, but it's quite searching, isn't it? What would that look like in our lives if God was to answer that prayer? That all the things that are striving for our attention and prominence were to fall aside so that Christ and God could be our supreme attention and our goal and our aim. Let's stand and sing.
Well, just before we get into the message for this morning, I just wanted to follow on from what Mark said last week about the baptism Bible studies we've got coming up, or the baptism Bible study, baptism of believers Bible study, which is Tuesday week, the 13th of January. And we're envisaging two sorts of people might want to come. There may be new believers in recent months or recent years who are thinking of being baptized and being open about their faith. We've had interest along those lines. And there'll be others who've been Christians for many years, mature Christians, but who haven't been baptized as believers and who are now thinking that it might be right, might be good to do so, and are wanting to think through that a bit more. And we've had interest along those lines. So both sorts of people are very welcome to Tuesday week evening Bible study. We're going to see who comes and how many comes of different kinds. We may be all together, but both Mark and I are available for the evening. So we may have two separate groups if that seems the best way of handling things. So do let me know during the week, or let Mark know during the week, if that's of interest to you. We're hoping then, or I'm hoping then, to do some studies on church life and membership fairly soon after that. And perhaps you can let me know if that's of interest too. And we'll soon establish some dates for those studies. Good. Well, to this morning. I wonder how you feel as you face the new year. You've been wished a happy new year this morning, and many times probably already. And maybe that's how it started, a happy new year. And that's a great blessing. Perhaps you feel a sense of anticipation with the year ahead, excitement, adventure, opportunity. There's a good feel to the start of the year and as you envisage the things that might open up. But maybe there is instead, or as well, at the other end of the spectrum, anxiety as you think of the year ahead. Worry, or dread, or fear. And there can be many reasons for these things. Anticipation or anxiety. That's a bit simplistic, just two of them, either end of the spectrum. It's probably a mixture. Perhaps it varies from hour to hour. It does with some of us. Well, the main thrust of this morning is really to encourage us not to be in the zone of the right-hand side. The thrust is, do not be anxious. It has some connection with Christmas Day message. Those who were here when we looked at do not fear. We're not going to be saying do not be anxious several times during the message, like we did on that particular occasion. But we could do, because it's several times in the passage. Have a look at the passage if you've got it open, and you'll see the phrase do not be anxious. Matthew 6, 25 to 34 comes up in verse 25 at the start. Do not be anxious. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious. And the phrase also comes up, doesn't it, in the questions in verses 27 and 28. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Being anxious, anxiety. That's a big issue, isn't it? A few years ago, we started to do some sort of special theme evenings, midweek, but sort of seminar style. And there was one that was much more popular than the rest. And we got a particularly good turnout, lots coming out middle of the week. What was the theme of that series of three? Anxiety. Anxiety. And that was before COVID, with all its effects. In the past, perhaps it's seen as an older person's issue, temptation to feel the burdens and the concerns of older years, or maybe a midlife issue, the busyness of life. But evidence shows that so much these days, it's very much a young person's issue as well. So this is an all-age theme this morning that we're looking at as we think of do not be anxious. Well, what is anxiety? What is it to be anxious? What is Jesus talking about here? Well, he doesn't mean that there should be no thought and no planning and no weighing of options and no thinking through. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about people being discerning as they think through different options, consider the situation, think about it wisely, and about people being diligent, taking responsibility seriously. There are some people who are so thoughtless and sort of carefree, you almost say, I wish they'd worry more about things. They just seem to be so blasé about everything. It's not encouraging that sort of blasé, careless, thoughtless approach to life. Now here, anxiety, it is thought which is obsessive and excessive. It's thought which is unproductive and unbelieving. It is thought which is agitated and overly absorbing. These are the sorts of things and attitudes which Jesus is addressing in this. An older writer, Bishop Ryle, put it like this: prudent provision for the future is right. Wearing, corroding, self-tormenting anxiety is wrong. So it's helpful to think about what sort of things we're thinking of about anxiety. Well, what might we be anxious about? What might I be anxious about? What might you be anxious about? Well, I tried to think through typical areas of anxiety. Came up with a bit of a list. Friends. Looks. Job. Money, health, any of these on your list feature in your life, relationships, church, responsibilities, house, future care of others, accidents, exams, children. Grandchildren, travel. That's 15. You could double the length of the list probably. What might you put as the next few? Anxiety, areas of anxiety. Here, in Jesus' teaching, it's especially food and clothing he has in mind, but the principles can apply to other areas of anxiety as well, and they will do this morning. Now, we know life is very complicated and anxiety is very complicated. We know that some things do weigh very heavy on us, quite rightly. Think of even Jesus as he faced Gethsemane. He was deeply troubled and distressed. Paul talked about being burdened beyond measure and also bearing the burden of the churches. We're not talking about trivialising everything and treating everything as one big joke here this morning. We also know that mental health can have a tremendous effect on these things in our lives. But we're going to find help this morning in the teaching of Jesus. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, John said, teaching for disciples, those who acknowledge Jesus as King and are in the kingdom. And as Jesus teaches them about many things in these three chapters, one area that he teaches them is about is really encouraging them to lower their anxiety, to spend less time on that end of the spectrum, if you like. And what Jesus says here gives us so much help, and it will give us help as we look into 2026. Well, as we think of the teaching here, I think we can group it into sort of three areas. That's what we're going to do this morning. three things which to remember will be of help to us in being less anxious as we face the new year. Here's the first, to remember reason. God is not against reason. He has given us our reason and it has its uses. And we'll come on in a minute to some sort of deeply spiritual things, if you like, in the teaching of Jesus. But doesn't it strike you, or didn't it strike you as we read through, actually how sensible and practical and wise what Jesus taught was? And we shouldn't overlook that practical, wise, reasonable advice. So as you look at the passage, things come under that category of just being about reason, practical wisdom, about life, about approaching worry. You get it in verse 25. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he's saying that there's more to life than this, the thing that we're overly anxious about. Maybe have one or two things that you are overly anxious about or tempted to be in mind. And Jesus, isn't there more to life than this? Worry loses perspective. Worry inflates something. Have you ever blown up a balloon which has got a bit of a weak point? Or do you remember pumping up inner tubes that have got weak points of rubber and the thing starts to... But one area just sort of balloons, doesn't it? Just sort of gets massive, way out of proportion to the rest. And worry is like that in our lives. We have one thing that just sort of takes over, sort of disproportionately becomes so huge in our minds. And Jesus says, isn't there more to life than this? We're tempted to overlook the many good things that God has given us to focus on, the many good things to enjoy, the many good things to do. And instead, we just get taken up with one thing or one or two things, and it robs us of joy. And you find that anxiety has sort of taken over your life. Don't lose the sense of what life is about, Jesus says. Sometimes you look back at what you stewed over and you think, well, what on earth was all the fuss about? Some reason there, practical wisdom. There's more to life than being overly taken up with some of the things we're due to. Verse 27 is quite practical. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Worry achieves nothing. What good does it do? Jesus is saying, what good does it do? It can mean height here. It's translated in different ways, this verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit, a foot and a half, to his height? I remember, I don't know if any of you remember, I couldn't track it down on Google last night, this morning, but I remember these adverts, I thought they were for cooking butter, but I couldn't track it down, where you've got this youngster, and he's going to be in the school photo, and he's obviously quite small, so he's not going to come out on the photo and be seen, but there he is, he's eating some sort of, I don't know, sausage rolls cooked with cooking butter, and he rises up several feet in the advert, and there he is, towering above everyone else in the school photo, and he has pride of place. Well, cooking butter doesn't add feet to your height, despite the advert, and nor does worry add feet or inches to your height. If you worry about your height like that, you will be wasting your time. It can mean length of life, as we have it translated here. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Well, I suppose if you think constructively and think through health issues and discuss through health issues, it's likely to be good for your health and your length of life. But this sort of excessive, over the top, thinking and worrying about anything is going to decrease your life rather than extend it. So what good does it do? Jesus says. Excessive thought. Obsessive thought is it's a waste of time. What good does it do? Practical wisdom and reason. And then the last verse, verse 34, isn't that wonderfully practical and helpful? Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A day at a time, Jesus says. Worry overreaches itself. It tries to take on too much. When I used to be working in an office in human resources, we had a brought forward system. I don't know if you've had anything similar, but where certain projects and certain things needed to be sorted out, but not yet. They were in a file and they would be down in certain months, and then when the month came forward, it would be subdivided perhaps by weeks or days so that you could deal with the things that you needed to over the months at the time in which they came through. And maybe you've got a similar system in your diary. You jot down to-do list, but you put it on, you know, that week will do, or I need to plan it there, I need to publicise that, I need to sort that out there, and you put them in. Or maybe you're a bit more sort of techo-friendly and you've got some sort of app which pings it up on the right day when you need to sort it out. We have systems for sort of spacing out the things that need to be thought through and planned. And Jesus is really saying, you know, don't take those files away. Don't get rid of the dividers. Take a day at a time. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You find that you're focusing on all sorts of things. Jesus says, focus on today's thoughts and responsibilities. Don't try and master the lot. God has given you this year in 365 chunks. I don't think it's a leap year, is it, this year? He's given it to you in 365 chunks. Don't do away with the dividers. Practical wisdom, isn't it helpful? But there are things bigger than reason for followers not to worry. And this is our second area, is relationship. Is relationship. We have a relationship with a Heavenly Father. If you're a believer, follower of Jesus Christ, that's true for you. You have a relationship with a Heavenly Father. And that comes throughout the Sermon on the Mount. You'll see it in lots of different places. It should be something which, if you like, infuses the whole of the Christian life, this outlook. And it should certainly influence our attitude to worry. You have it a couple of times in the passage. Verse 26. And yet your Heavenly Father. Verse 32. And your Heavenly Father. Just breathe in that phrase. You're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, your Heavenly Father. As a Christian, there should be something distinctive about your attitude to life and worries. If you're a person of faith, you're sometimes of little faith, that's what comes out here, but people of faith should have it should be infused with this sense of relationship. Have your current anxieties and worries, have they got a sort of flavour of a sense of Heavenly Father about them? That's what Jesus encourages here. Have a Heavenly Father who provides. 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Walked into our dining room Friday morning, looked out of our French windows. A lot of hustle and bustle there was, 5 foot above our patio area. We had our bird feeders full up, and there were goldfinches, and there was chaffinch, and there was a nuthatch, and there were pigeons down on the floor, and they were feasting. It's winter, and they had food. They were being provided for. And okay, that was through our bird feeders. That's part of God's general kindness to his creation. But they get food elsewhere in other places. God provides. It was a little picture for me of what I've just been thinking about in Matthew 6. Well, I know it's a broken creation, but there's still marvellous provision, isn't there, for all sorts in creation. And Jesus takes up that imagery. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Well, moving away from the birds, we go to a hillside of wild flowers. And its beauty, it's more stunning than the best king in all his glory, according to Jesus. And Jesus picks up that imagery in verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The plants don't worry. The birds don't worry. They're provided for. And it reminded me of a little poem. I don't know if you've come across this. It's a bit simplistic maybe, but this little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Learn from the birds. Learn from the flowers. Remember, your heavenly Father provides. And he provides because he values. Provides because he values. He carries on, verse 26, after talking of the birds. Are you not of more value than they? And he carries on after the flowers in verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God cares for the birds and the flowers, we're told. But he cares much more for his children. Those who are in his family because they're believers. Christian, do you know you're valuable to God? You may not feel valuable. You may not deserve value. But your heavenly Father values you. And realizing that we're valued and important and loved and special to a heavenly Father, well, it can be quite an antidote to worry and anxiety. Heavenly Father values, he provides, and we're also reminded that your heavenly Father knows. He knows. Verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows every hair that falls from your head, we're told. That's a lot of detail. It's much more than you know. He knows what you picked out of that list of 15 or added to it. He knows. He knows what you need. It's a great blessing in life, isn't it, to have good parents. Most of us have one or two, or perhaps we don't always realise it. Or we have people who act like loving parents to us. A parent who cares, who knows what we need, looks out for us. Especially helpful, isn't it, when we're very young, we can't sort things out for ourselves. Takes away a lot of worries to have a loving parent looking out for our needs. In fact, as we get older and more vulnerable, it's a great blessing to have family members who care for us and know for our needs, who bear that responsibility, who look out for us. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He's not saying here, give us everything on our wish list like some Santa. But he knows what we need, like a father concerned for us and what's good for us. So we have a Heavenly Father, and that can quell a lot of the agitation and overabsorption with the things that trouble us. There's a third area that helps with worry. It comes up towards the end of this teaching, and we can say that we need to remember to reprioritize. To reprioritize. And that's expressed in the famous verse, verse 33. So children, if you're wanting to suggest to your parents a verse to learn this week, I suggest to you that Matthew 6:33 could be a good one. Okay, here it is. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is saying, focus on different things. Focus on better things. Fuss about more important things. Fuss about more important things, if I can put it like that. If we're concerned about God's kingdom, his righteousness, his concerns, then other things fade and other things get sort of shunted into place. Sometimes we need to focus on the most important things, and then other things get downsized, a sort of inflated inner tube or balloon gets sort of back into its perspective as we focus on what God wants us to focus on, his righteousness and his kingdom. Seek it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek to be in it if you're not in it. Seek to be part of God's kingdom, to have Jesus as your leader, to be safe in him, to be forgiven, to be right with God. Seek that first. Have you followed him, or has that got knocked down your list? Reprioritize. Seek first the kingdom of God, to be in it and to be safe and to be there. But if you're a believer, seek still to be putting it first as you live your life. Live life as somebody with sort of kingdom priorities, who has concerns of the other things in the Sermon of the Mount for purity and kindness and sincerity and honesty and humble humility and good works and living in the light of eternity. Seek those things. And so often other things fall into place, and all these things shall be added to you. Youngish, are you youngish? Life is in front of you. What are you most concerned about as you go forward? God says, put his kingdom high up your list. I remember I was at a parents' evening, And an assistant principal was giving a little bit of a talk. You don't often get this, do you, from an assistant principal in a secular secondary school. But at the parents' evening, he gave a little bit of, he was a sort of spiritually minded man, if I can put it like that. And he got out a jar and he had some stones and he talked about the fact that you've got to get your priorities right. And if you put all the small stones in the jar, you've probably seen this being done, and all the small ones go in first, and then you get your big pebble and you try and put it in, you can't fit it in because it's all filled up. It doesn't work that way. He said, but if you get your priorities right, and he was open enough to say, for me, that's God. If you put your priorities right and you put the big stone in first and then the little ones in afterwards, you can get it all in the jar. It works out. Are you putting in life? Are you sort of concentrated only on the small pebbles that don't really matter? And there's no room for God and his kingdom, his righteousness. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Put the big stone in first and let the other things be sorted out. Do you need to reprioritize? If you're young, do you need to get the focus right for the year ahead? But it's a challenge for us all as the years go by, isn't it? I got a few books for Christmas, and all Christian books. I've got biographies and travel books, and somebody gave me something on football, so they're not all Christians, but I did get this Christian book and it looks very good for me. Not old, not young, not done. Following Jesus in your 50s and 60s. It's a new book out. Well, I haven't read it all, but I'm expecting it to be good. But I was struck by a little sort of case study that introduced chapter 1. Here it is. It already lives in a bit more of a sort of culturally diverse place than us. At the funeral of an older member of his church, Gary had the opportunity to catch up with two former members, both now in their early 60s, who had travelled from different parts of the country to be there. He had known each of them well and remembered them as zealous, prayerful, energetic, and courageous disciples of Jesus. They had been a joy to have as members of the church. Dalip, that's one of them, Dalip's work had taken him to another part of the country where he married and had children. Amani also married and moved to where her husband worked. They too had children. But as they chatted, Gary could not help being struck by the difference between them. Outwardly, all seemed well with both in their marriages, their families, their jobs and their health. But inwardly, what a contrast. Amani was eager to grow in the knowledge of God as when she had been in her 20s. She talked still of her love for Jesus, her hunger for the scriptures, her zeal for the gospel. There was a warmth of maturity now, and there were scars of sadnesses. There were grey hairs, but a fresh and a zealous heart. But with Dalip, oh, it was all so sad. All the talk was about his career, his successes, his family, his house. There were not so many grey hairs, but there was a grey heart. Well, does it ring a bit of a bell? Bell of warning? Quite a challenge, isn't it, to see how somebody, as life's gone on, is no longer prioritizing first God and his kingdom. Maybe we need to reprioritize. It will be good in itself as we go into the new year. But it will also help nudge things back into their proper place. And it will help us to be less anxious. So as we start the year, I don't know where we are on the spectrum, anticipation, anxiety, but I do hope that drinking in these different aspects of Jesus' teaching in these passages sort of nudges us further away from the zone of anxiety as we go forward. Well, before we sing our last song, I'll just leave we'll leave it up, the things that are there. Maybe there's something that's been particularly helpful to you this morning. Just give you a chance to quietly pray over it for a minute before we sing our last song. Well, shall we sing then together our last song, which is Be Still My Soul, The Lord Is On Your Side. Stand to sing. We know there are many things which come to us in this world which do give us reason for thought, but we pray to really drink in the teaching of your word this morning. Help us to be practically wise and to keep things into perspective. Help us, Lord, to know that we have you as our Heavenly Father who values us, provides for us, and who cares for us and knows our need. Help us, Lord, to put our energies and our thoughts and focus into the most important thing and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make your word live in our hearts. We pray it will have an effect on us today and in these early days of the year, but it may set a good trajectory as we go forward into the year ahead. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.